Blog Talk Radio.
Fismark right here on Radio Talk 101.3. If you're just tuning in, keep that dial tuning because you're tuning into the right station. Hey, the show runs from 10 a.m. till 12 noon, so keep that dial tuned because we got a great show for you. The first portion runs from 10 till 10:59, and that's the focus on Africa. And the second portion runs from 11 till 12 o'clock, and that's the after party. Hey, you're tuning into Radio Talk 101.3. Hey, for all our international listeners out there in the Big A, Africa, Liberia, hey, we hope you tune in because we're doing this every Saturday morning just because of our international listeners giving you all the convenient time of listening. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Hey, we got a great show for you to all our listeners out there. We love you. Hey, love, peace, and happiness. It's Saturday. It's another blessed day. Hey, one world, one people, one God. Right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Once again, big ups to all the folks up in LIB. You know, wish you all a happy and blessed Saturday. Right here on Radio Talk 101.3. You're listening to the program Let's Talk, and the first portion of the program is Focus on Africa. It runs from 10 till 10:59, and the second portion runs from 11 till 12, and that's the after party. Keep that dial tuned in. It's Bismarck. It's right here on your radio. Let's give you some headlines from the African news right now. Nigeria buries revered Muslim ruler. Tens of thousands of people attend the burial of the Imam of Kano, one of Nigeria's most revered Muslim leaders, and a vocal critic of Boko Haram. Jacob Zuma in hospital for test. South Africa's President Jacob Zuma is admitted to a hospital for test after doctors told him to rest following the demanding election. Jacob Zuma is aging. Nyong'o to star in Americana. Oscar-winning actress Lupita Nyong'o is to star in and produce an adaptation of Nigerian author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's novel Americana. What a name. Migrants sinking worse this year, UN. The UN reports the deaths of 62 migrants, mostly Somali and Ethiopian, off the coast of Yemen, in what it says is the region's worst such accident in years. Ex-tennis star charged with SA rape. CAR, Central African Republic foes both commit war crimes. Mass jailbreak in Eastern DR Congo. Egypt brings in new sex assault laws. Nigeria preachers killed dozens. Rwanda protecting Congo ex-rebels. Kenya in year's biggest ivory haul. African sport. Vita force a draw away to Al Hilal. Sudanese side Al Hilal and AS Vita Club of the Democratic Republic of Congo draw 1-1 in the African Champions League Group A. Cotton sport stage thrilling comeback. Cameroon's Cotton Sport win a asset Mimosa in the Confed Cup, while Egypt's Al Ahly prepared to face Series Sports. You're listening to Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. You've been listening to some headline news on focus on Africa. And the time now is 10:09, and you're listening to The Morning Show right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Hey, to all our listeners out there in the international world, we hope you got that dial tuned in, because we're right here on your radio station. The number is 929-477-4186. You can call in to holler at your boy. You can call in to send a request out to a friend or family. Or you can call in to weigh in on the conversation. Yeah, we got a lot to discuss this morning, so keep that dial tuning because Bismarck is right here. Hey, big ups, Big A, Africa and the world. Hey, it's Bismarck right here on Radio Talk. Yeah, this is my girl, Nimani, with the song Trip. Now, I've been recording artists. Nimani.
I left my home so long ago to travel through distant lands, to see all the things that I could see, to come back home and lend a hand. Oh, lo and behold, human nature just landed her blow. Changed everything I had planned. Changed every damn thing. Life. No matter how tall I had to fall, no matter how strong I became weak, this is my song that I must sing throughout the rest of my days.
Yeah, this is Mark right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Make sure you keep that dial tuned. We've got a great show for you. This is my very new body. All right, do you want to
stay with me?
know I love you. Just wanna tell ya, anything I want, I would do it for you, for you, for you.
Anything you say, I'm with you. Baby, I'm with you, girl. Anything you want, I'm with you, girl. Anything you say, I'm with you. Baby, I'm with you, girl. Anything you want, I'm with you, girl.
Philadelphia, PA, Liberia's Independence Initiative Community Town Hall Meeting and Forum. Check it out at Christ Assembly Lutheran Church, 229 North 63rd Street, Philadelphia, PA, just off Market Street. Make sure you attend. This is a public forum and admission is free. Refreshment will be served. That's the Liberia's Independence Initiative Community Town Hall Meeting and Forum in Philadelphia, PA, this Sunday, June 8th, 5 p.m. And Councilor Melvin Johnson is going to be speaking, I think. Discussions about the Says Liberians and friends of Liberia, here is the real question. Here's the real question. Why is Liberia rich in natural resources, but the country is poor? Corruptional. Come and learn the truth about the reality. Come and learn the truth about what really happened in Robins International Airport, RIA. This is the public forum. This is a public forum, and admission is free. So it's on Sunday, June 8th, 5 p.m. in Philadelphia at the Christ Assembly Lutheran Church, 229 North 63rd Street, Philadelphia, PA. You're listening to Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3, listening to the program Focus on Africa. Hey, I have a question for you out there. I heard this story just a couple hours ago, and I wanted to interject this on the program. Is it right for anyone, any organization, or any country, or any courts, is it right for anyone to take away the parental rights of a parent towards his child? Is it right for anyone to separate a child and his parent, or a child and his father? Is it right for anyone to divide, end the relationship between a child and a parent? The number is 929-477-4186. Hey, call in. Let's talk about it. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3.
Van de Brianse muziek met vrouw Manier, jonge meisje, kijk al, voor Manier de Vriezer, de Haan.
People getting crazy, everybody's making money. We're starting to make a party, get down with it, get slowly. Keep holding on, don't let go. We're moving, nobody stop it, just let it roll. Take it slow, no stop it, everybody then say, party people.
Don't let, 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 don
see them there. Nobody stop it. We celebrate to the break of the day. With champagne, we'll make it happen.
Talk 101.3, and you're listening to the program Focus on Africa. I want to read you this little story from Liberia. U.S. $10 million lawsuit hangs over press secretary. The political leader of the Movement for Progressive Change, MPC, has threatened to file a U.S. $10 million lawsuit against presidential press secretary Jerolimek Matthew Pia. Mr. Simeon Freeman made that disclosure Wednesday, June 4th, when he appeared on Fabric Radio talk show program, The New Dawn. According to Mr. Freeman, said legal action would be predicated upon statements made by Pa or Pierre, alleging that he, Freeman, was a former operative of the regime of convicted former Liberian President Charles G. Taylor. I mean, what's going on in Liberia? $10 million misappropriated? $10 million when you have 85% of the Liberian populace living in poverty, living below $2 a day. Come on, what's going on in Liberia? Press secretary involved in $10 million scandal? It sounds like a gold mine over there. I mean, what's going on with the leadership in Liberia? What's happening with the judiciary system? I mean, there's so much corruption going on in Liberia. I mean, it's like there's no law and order. There's no legal action taken against these corrupt members of government. And something has to be done. Something has to be done. It has to stop. Corruption in Liberia has to be eradicated, and poverty has to end. Here's another story from Liberia. Liberia's foreign policy must change. Monserrato County District Number 4 representative has called for an immediate change in the way the country's foreign policy has been crafted, something he termed as traditional. Representative Henry B. Family noted that the traditional way represented the era where Liberia was required to be present, just to be present, because it had certain degree of status symbol, identified as Africa's oldest independent republic. Here's another story from Liberia. Emergence of checkpoints, heavy police presence scare drivers. Although a state of emergency has not been declared, heavy police presence along the Monrovia-Ganta Highway, especially during the night hours, is scaring drivers and the Federation of Road Transportation of Transport Union of Liberia, FRTUL, as they are persistently and constantly harassed. A trip made by our reporter last week along the highway showed that that dissolved checkpoints have resurfaced, with scores of police officers posted and stopping every commercial vehicle plying the highway. A national symposium on Liberia's symbols sits Mary Lauren Brown to deliver keynote address. Organizers of the upcoming National Symposium on Liberia's Symbols and National Awards have selected renowned Catholic sister Mary Lauren Brown to deliver the keynote address. The event is scheduled for Friday, June 6, 2014, at the Painesville Town Hall outside Monrovia. The Friday Symposium is the first activity aimed at bringing people together to discuss the essence of the National Awards project, the symbols, and the possibilities for review. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. You're listening to the program Focus on Africa right now. It runs from 10 till 10:59. Here's another interesting story from Liberia. For misconduct, CDC lawmaker thrown out of session. Congress for Democratic Change, CDC, Representatives Mona E. Pelham Youngblood was Thursday, June 5th, thrown out of session for misconduct. Representative Youngblood was escorted out of the session by Sergeant-at-Arms General Martin Johnson upon the order of Presiding Officer Samuel G. Kamau. The CDC lawmaker's exit was predicated upon her alleged misconduct exhibited in session. Madam Youngblood openly used invective against fellow Monserrato County Representative William V. Dickel, Sr., terming his ideas and inputs provided in the legislature as reckless and nonsense. We would like to hear about her inputs, since she's talking about another representative input is reckless and nonsense. Executive Mansion reacts to Simeon Freeman's rants. The Presidential Press Secretary in the Office of President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has reacted sharply to Mr. Simeon Freeman's comments against President Sirleaf's recent nation address. Press Secretary Jerilemek Matthew Pia described comments from the Movement for Progressive Change, former standard bearer Freeman, as gross indiscipline and naked politic gimmick. Simeon Mosiga Freeman had been commenting on President Sirleaf's address to Liberians on state of the nation's economy. Here's a very interesting one. House probes Chevron's social development funds. The House of Representatives has launched an investigation into U.S. $10 million in social development funds from oil giant Chevron. Plenary Tuesday, June 3rd, mandate its committees on public accounts, lands, mines, and energy, contracts, and monopolies to open a probe into financial transactions between the National Oil Company of Liberia, NOCAL, N-O-C-A-L, and Chevron relating to the status of monies from the company's social engagement to the Liberian people. You know, there's all these stories we're reading from Liberia. under the leadership and presidency of Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. There's a lot of money flowing into Liberia. There's a lot of money flowing into Liberia. But, I mean, there's nothing that can be seen from, you know, the money flowing into Liberia. Instead, we hear of a lot of corruption. I've read you a lot. Press secretary involved in another $10 million issue. What's going on in Liberia? You know, what's going on in Liberia? Where is all the money going? There's a certain percentage of, you know, people in Liberia. Out of the 15% that circulates the money through earning and by buying commodities and goods, there's another 5%, I would say, governmental-wise, you know, members of government from the president down to, you know, senators, House of Representatives, ministers of government, and all of that agencies. That's where the bulk of library budget is. Paychecks. People are earning more than, you know, their earning is more than their daily expenditure. They're living way above their means, while some people are living way below their means, hardly surviving. You know, when you have government senators and members of the House making up to $12,000 U.S. a month plus incentives. When I talk about incentives, I mean, it goes all the way close to $100,000 a month. I mean, close to $50,000 a month or more. And these are members of government. And if we calculate the daily expenditure on the lively cost of living, you know, it's nowhere even close to $5,000 a month. So let's talk about it. What's going on in Liberia with all this inflow of finances coming from the international world, and, you know, what's happening with the money? Education is still not the priority of the Liberian government. Health care is still not the priority of the Liberian government. Electric power is still not the priority of the Liberian government. Almost 12 years now, Ellen Johnson, President Sirleaf, the Liberian people are not going to have electric power. Almost 12 years of your service, two terms, no clean running water. I mean, what have you done in the first six, and now in the second six, what are you doing? It's Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. You're listening to the program Focus on Africa.
Christy Shields, Kobe Maxwell.
Yeah, just do it. Kobe Maxwell featuring Christy Shields. So do it right here on Radio Talk.
I'm
In matar el calor de la mujer. La vida a una leyenda urbana. La mano peligrosa, mami.
Yeah. God, I can make you scream. And if there be true God, I can bless with you. Just call on me, babe, I can call on you. I can feel on you, girl, you can feel on me. I can call you, I can call you, I can call you. Just call me, baby girl, I can fuck you like a flow. I can lay you down, girl, I can break you up. Let me kiss your lips, girl, I can make you kiss mine. I can feel on you, you can feel on me. I can check on you, you go up.
Yeah, this is Biz Mark right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Make sure you stay tuned in for the conversation with Mr. Melvin Johnson, Counselor Melvin Johnson, about corruption in Liberia and about the airport scandal in Liberia. We're going to be talking to Mr. Johnson in a few minutes, so keep that dial tuned in. This is Biz Mark right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Hey, this is Raw Picking LIB recording artist with the song. I like it. It's Biz Mark right here on Radio Talk.
Get it, come plenty. Why no less? When you stand to the beach, you stay with your man. When you want me, party drink. I say, come let
Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. You're listening to the program Focus on Africa. We told you we're going to have Councillor Johnson on in a few minutes to discuss issues concerning Liberia, corruption, and their airport scandal in Liberia. Good morning, Mr. Johnson, or Councillor Johnson.
Good morning. Good morning, my brother. Good morning to your listening audience. Praise God for the opportunity to be on here, and thank you for the privilege to be on here, and thank you to your listening audience as well.
It's a privilege of ours, Councillor Johnson, to also have you on, and I want to thank you for that. Councillor Johnson, would you please introduce yourself to the listening audience so they know exactly who they are listening to?
Yes, to the listening audience, you're listening to a brother of yours born and raised in Liberia, left Liberia just before the war by God's grace, went through, like all of us do, many trials and tribulation, but God remained faithful, and today is in a position to speak truth to power, to bring awareness to the situation going on in Liberia. And is going around the country for now, bringing awareness to our people in the diaspora about what's going on in Liberia, and simultaneously working with many, many people on the ground to bring awareness and bring about change.
Councillor Johnson, there's a great divide in the populace of Liberia, especially economically. Where there's 85% of the populace still living in poverty, earning less than $2 a day, and money is being circulated amongst the 15%. I mean, those who are honestly working and earning wages, but the bulk of the money seems to be going to the Liberian payroll salary for government employees living way above their means. How do you see this this divide amongst the populace economically?
My brother, this divide is horrific. There's no other word for it. It is horrible. The statistics that you mentioned, just imagine that those statistics exist, and this government has been paying and encouraging its ministers to live in hotels for the last going on 9 years now. One minister, for instance, the information was released whereby the poor people that you just described, these poor people out of their pockets are paying for this minister to rent a hotel to the, at the tune of $4,300-plus every month. We understand that that's been going on for now going into year nine. Just one minister alone is nearly $500,000 in rent. Why would this president not encourage the leaders, the cabinet ministers to build in Liberia, but instead to be renting hotels, renting apartments, while the poor people that you just described continue to pay for it? That kind of leadership is exemplified further in the ministries. You got ministries, for example, Liberia Telecom Authority. There was a story recently released where they were paying rent at the tune of $1.5 million. You have another ministry, Liberia Revenue Authority, paying rent at the tune of $700,000. You have the one ministry that has over 9,000 ghost employees that were unsalaried that was discovered by the United States government via USAID, United States non-for-profit program that's operating in Liberia. I mean, I can go on and on and on. This is what is going on in Liberia. This is what is causing, contributing significantly to the suffering that our people continue to endure, to the point that our people in protest, for the first time in African history, for the first time in Liberia's history, our people in protest are pouring gasoline on themselves and setting themselves ablaze because they're so sick and tired of this kind of leadership. They're so sick and tired of the suffering that they're having to endure. In the last 6 months, 15 people have killed themselves in Liberia in protest of this government and the suffering that they continue to endure every day.
Wow. So, I mean, this is very convincing. And, I mean, the statistics, you know, it proves it. The interaction with the American government and that of the Liberian government proves it, because the American government is now distancing away from the Liberian government because of repeated corruption in Liberia. Now, this is rampant among the members of government. What is being done, Councillor Johnson? What is there to be done? What's going on with the judiciary system? Are they not investigating and prosecuting? Or are they all in each other's pockets?
Unfortunately, this president appears to have a total hold on just about every branch of government in Liberia. As you would recall, specifically as it relates to Ellen Corcoran and I, a few months ago, the government had been publishing all kinds of false stories against us. When we now, after the Lord had told us, go ahead and start releasing the recordings, when we started releasing the recordings, specifically when we released the first recording of the president, where the people in Liberia for the first time heard the president's voice as it related to corruption, this president, who is supposed to be the executive branch, issued a gag order through the judicial branch, whereby forbidding the entire country from speaking to Ellen Corcoran and myself or face legal consequences. Later on, due to the pressure from the people on the ground, she quickly lifted the gag order, but that goes to show the kind of control, the kind of power that she has. Again, she should be the executive branch. She should not have the power and the ability to issue gag order through the judicial branch, but unfortunately, exactly, this is what is going on in Liberia.
Going back to the same old days.
And even worse, it's even worse, my brother. This president, since taking office in 2006, has issued more concession agreements, giving away our natural resources to foreigners than all Liberian presidents going back to 1847. This president has issued over 100 concession agreements since taking office. Let's just take one area, the logging area. Of all the available trees in Liberia, if we recall, one of the problems we all had and the international community had with Charles Taylor was the logging, the illegal logging that was going on. This president has surpassed Charles Taylor. Of all the remaining trees in Liberia, over 60% of it has already been mortgaged to foreigners. This president signed 63 foreign contracts, 63 logging contracts. When the international bodies reviewed those 63 contracts, they found 61 out of the 63 contracts to be illegal. 61 out of 63 contracts to be illegal. This is what is going on in Liberia.
Wow. And, I mean, and it keeps going on, and it seems like there's no end to it. What's the problem with the judiciary system? How can what is there to be done, or what can the Liberian people do in order for the judiciary system to act? Or, I mean, like I said, are they all in each other's pocket?
My brother, the evidence remains that nobody is speaking up, nobody is doing something, nobody is speaking for the voiceless, nobody is acting for our poor people that don't have the ability to act. When I talk about plundering our resources, when you go to an Olympic stadium, the area that where they do the track and field, that area inside, which includes the football field, the out-of-bounds area, That area is approximately the size of an hectare, H-E-C-T-A-R-E. That's a measurement of land, the size of an hectare. Just in 2010 alone, this president gave away over 660,000 hectares of our people's land, foreigners. At the tone of 60 years, some of the contracts, 63 years, some of the contracts.
Wow.
Obviously, in 60 years or 63 years, she will not be around, and so she is mortgaging the future for the future generation without care, without concern, and so far with impunity. It has to be stopped. If we don't do something and do something now, there will not be a Liberia for us and our children tomorrow. According to international reports, when you take the entire land area of Liberia, you go from Cape Mount all the way to Maryland, you include Lofa, you come around to Grand Jeda, the whole land country of Liberia, about 40% of the total land, 40% of the total country has already been mortgaged in foreign concession agreements to foreigners. 40% of the total country.
Wow. You have the executive branch, you have the Senate, you have the House. Now, all these evidential information, Councilor Johnson, let's get a little introduction to the Cochran file. The Liberia Airport scandal. Could you please introduce that Cochran file?
Sure. What happened is Ellen Corcoran, is a Liberian female that we all should be very proud of. This is somebody that left Liberia right before the war, experienced the war vicariously through family members suffering and hardship in the U.S., was a single mom, graduated from high school, finished high school here. She started high school at Convent in Liberia. She finished high school here. She went on to the University of Minnesota, earned a bachelor's degree. She went on further to the prestigious MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and completed a master's degree with honors. She went on further to the prestigious Harvard University and completed a second master's with honors. She joined the U.S. military. Even at now, she's now 40 years old. She's already served over 20 years honorably in the U.S. military. While in the U.S. military, yes, the information we have, she is Africa's first military female pilot. Not only is she a military female pilot flying military crafts, but she's also a commercial pilot flying aircrafts for commercial airlines like the likes of Delta and so forth. Ellen Corcoran is now at the point where she's not only flying for the military, flying for commercial airlines, but she's training pilots here in the U.S. This is the caliber. Wow. This is the caliber person we're talking about. But long story short, she agreed, because she had been out of Liberia for over two decades, she agreed to go back to serve at the airport to see how she can raise our airport to the standard of the international community, to see how she can introduce aviation programs to breed more pilots, just like herself, males and females. While she went home to serve, when she was there for about a week, I also went home. A little background on me, I started a business in Liberia to support the economy, to support family members, and I had been operating that business for about 6 years or so, since 2006. And so that business caused me to go back and forth to Liberia every 2 months, every 3 months. Because as we all know, if you have a business in Liberia that you're serious about, you have to have a continual physical presence. And so I was going back and forth for that business, visiting family and other reasons. Now, when Ellen Corcoran accepted to serve after being in Liberia for 1 week, I arrived in Liberia for business, and that's when we met for the first time in Liberia. Long story short, the airport had a board of directors consisting of seven individuals. These individuals, they approached me and said that Delta Airlines is the number one client for Liberia. They're having some legal issues, contractual renegotiation issues with Delta Airlines. They needed somebody that can go back and forth between Liberia and Delta. Delta Airlines is based in Atlanta, Georgia, where I reside, where I also have law offices. And the fact that I was a Liberian living in Atlanta, coming back and forth to Liberia, I'm a jurist, I've got offices there. They said, you know, this would be perfect. Would you be interested in helping your country and in helping the airport? I said, fine. The seven board members, they had a meeting. They agreed. They passed a board resolution for me to serve as legal advisor. They reduced it to the minutes. They gave me copies. And so that's how I met, and that's how I started working with Ellen Corcoran. When Ellen Corcoran and I and others began working together, we immediately discovered some of the things that are suppressing our people. As I mentioned earlier, the United States government, through USAID, recently exposed or re-exposed this phenomenon we have in Liberia we call ghost employee. Basically, if there are in reality 10 people working at a particular department, this corrupt government, these corrupt government officials, they will put 35 people on the payroll. At the end of the pay period, they will pay the 10 realistic people, the 25 ghost people, they will pocket that money. As I said earlier, as an aside, the U.S. government via USAID just recently exposed that in one ministry, there were 9,000 ghost employees in one ministry.
Wow.
9,000 ghost employees. And so we also discovered that phenomena at the airport. We immediately sent out a memorandum to all the airport employees telling them that there was a new managing director, there was a new legal advisor. We both appreciated the work they have been doing to show our appreciation and gratitude. The next pay period, which we're in a few days, we will be meeting with all the employees personally to tell them thank you for the work they were doing. Of course, the reason we did that was so we could separate the real employee from the ghost employees. And so what happened, for 2 days, we stood out next to the paymaster, giving the example that I just gave. The 10 real employees showed up, and all of a sudden, the 25 other employees, ghost employees, did not show up. So that money now could not go in the pockets of the corrupt government officials. They went back into the coffers to be used for the country. As you can imagine, this upset the corrupt officials who had been benefiting for years from this phenomenon.
I believe so.
The airport also has a gas station. The purpose of that gas station was to fuel the airport vehicles and equipment. We also discovered that gas station was being used to fuel government officials' gas stations to send gasoline to their girlfriends for the girlfriend's generator for electricity and other uses.
Wow.
We changed the policy at the gas station. We mandated that for every ounce of gas leaving the gas station, the gas station attendant had to record the year, make, and model of each vehicle. And most importantly, they had to record the mileage. Of course, there's a way to tabulate the mileage to the vehicle to see whether the vehicle is actually burning the gas or it's been siphoned out.
Right.
Of course, changing that system also meant creating problems for the corrupt government officials. The airport also has a VIP lounge. The VIP lounge is designed to provide free refreshments, drinks, alcoholic and non-alcoholic, to first class, business class passengers traveling to and fro Liberia. So in order for the airport to do that, they have to order the inventory, keep it, and give it to the guests on an as-needed basis.
Right.
The ordering inventory became another major source of stealing by government officials. When we audited the VIP lounge, we discovered that the numbers were basically saying that each VIP guest was consuming around 29 Heinekens each, around 28 stouts each. And, of course, that is bogus. There's no way people can drink that
ridiculous
much.
Ridiculous amount.
And so basically what we discovered, they were falsifying the vouchers with the Lebanese vendors. They were increasing the vouchers to steal. We changed the system. We changed the system at that VIP lounge. We sent a letter out to all the vendors telling them that we have new managing director, new legal advisor. We've had some reports of improprieties, but we were wiping the slate clean. But going forward, we wanted all of our very valuable vendors to be aware that if we found any scandal and they were involved, not only would we expose the government officials, but we would also expose the vendors likewise. They should not take it as a threat. Liberia needs to go forward, and we're only here to play our part, and we expect them to play their part as well. Long story short, as you can imagine, these different anti-corruption stands that we started taking, it angered the government officials. All of a sudden, we would go to meetings. People would suck their teeth at us. People would cut their eyes. People would not shake our hands. It was clear that they were visibly upset. Then we began to hear from some of their employees that they were plotting against us, that there were different meetings of how they can get rid of us and how they can sign our death warrants.
Right.
This is the point where Ellen Corcoran and myself, we got together realizing that historically, culturally, we as a people, we have all talked about corruption, but few of us have been willing to take the risks to do something to bring about a change.
Right.
And so after some prayer and reflection, we decided we would record these corrupt officials. We would post these recordings on YouTube and other public places to embarrass them, but more importantly, to set a standard in Liberia, hoping to deter people from corruption, to move our country in the right direction. And so we went and we made these recordings. The story took an interesting turn because we decided to talk to the defense minister, Brani Samukai. We did not decide to talk to him because he was involved. We decided to talk to him because our lives, we were hearing, were repeatedly being threatened. Liberia has no electricity. The safety in Liberia is extremely compromised. We didn't have weapons. These officials have weapons. And so you're living in a dark city where you have no weapons, and you're hearing people with weapons are plotting against you. They're signing your death warrants. And these are people who are very capable. These are people who are very capable of carrying out the threats. So long story short, we approached the Minister of Defense, because he's the highest ranking security officer in the country, to see, number one, if he had heard about what was going on, and number two, if he had any advice as far as our security. To our surprise, explained to us that he had heard about the threats and so forth against us. He, the Minister of Defense, began his own investigation unbeknownst to us long before we approached him. And he said he talked to all the government officials involved. And he sat down with them. He asked them, why y'all after these two young people? What did they do? Did they take a dollar? Did they harm anybody? He says all of these people told him that no $1 was taken, that simply because we had, in essence, brought this American scrutiny system to Liberia, we were stopping their chopping, that there was $130 million that was coming for airport renovation. Given our respective positions at the airport, we would have to oversee the spending of that money. And based on the way we had been closing the ghost employee chopping, the gas station, the VIP, the payroll, etc., they were afraid they would not have access to that $130 million. And so better than Liberia prospered, we had to be removed. We had to be plotted against. Our death warrants had to be signed. Long story short, the defense minister advised that we talk to the president to do an investigation. On our way to the president sent different people to intercept us, to discourage us from an investigation, basically saying that the country had not been audited for the last 7 years. There had not been no true objective investigation. The president had already talked to everybody involved. She knew that we did nothing wrong, but that we should not persist with requesting any kind of investigation or audit because it would embarrass her. It would embarrass the country. Long story short, we nevertheless went to the president. That is on recording. That recording will be released the week of July 15th. On that recording, we will all hear what the president has to say about the whole corruption thing and fixing the investigation and so forth. Thereafter, the president got word that we were recording. According to the police director, she called for a secret meeting, ordering the police director in that meeting, the NSA director, the immigration director, and other security personnel. In that meeting, she ordered them vehemently to capture Judge Johnson and Ellen Corcoran and not let us leave the country. I understand that when the police director inquired what crime had we committed, what charges had been brought, she screamed at him and said, "I said just captured them." Now, she could not explain to him that we had possibly recorded her on recording admitting to corruption, and so she just wanted us captured, and only God knows what would have happened to us. As God would have it, God remained faithful. The police director confessed this plot to us, and he and others assisted us that very evening to escape Liberia only with the clothes that were on our backs and our passports. Everything that we had in Liberia, everything that we took to Liberia, we left it there. Government officials went through, ransacked, plundered everything. And so by God's grace, we left Liberia and we came back to the U.S. In a nutshell, that's what happened with the recording situation.
Wow. Wow. And there was also a story that came out after you people came back to the United States that the Liberian government were pursuing extradition rights to have you people extradited back to Liberia for prosecution. Is that true?
We've heard that story, my brother. After we left Liberia, six months after we left, it is when the government came up with the indictment. 6 months after we left Liberia, the government came up with an indictment. Now, after they came up with the indictment, then they also published that they would be extraditing us to Liberia. Let me take a moment for your listening audience to explain how the extradition process works and should work. If two people, Judge Johnson and Ellen Corcoran, were charged with committing crime in Liberia, the way it should work is the police would be the first level of investigation. The police would get involved. They would investigate. They would speak to witnesses. They would gather evidences, and they would turn their investigation report, their conclusion, they would turn that over to the Justice Department. So at that point, you have now the evidences, the witnesses have been gathered one time. When the police turns that over to the Justice Department, using the police report, will conduct their own investigation, interview the witnesses, gather the evidences, and the Justice Department now will take that evidence forward to the court for prosecution. That would represent the second time the same evidences, the same witnesses have been gathered. The Justice Department now takes that file to the court. They take it to a jury called the grand jury. They have a form of a trial. At the end of the day, that jury would find us guilty in essence, which would be an indictment. That would be the third level of gathering the evidences and the witnesses. So the government, 6 months after we left, 6 months after we fled with just the clothes on our backs, the government claimed they had an indictment. They had indicted us. So in order to have indicted us, the same evidences, the same witnesses had been gathered and reviewed three separate times. Now, if you have an indictment and you want to extradite somebody, all you have to do, that file of witnesses and evidences that you have reviewed three times, all you have to do is to make a copy of it and hand it over to the U.S. government, and then the U.S. government would bring us to court in the U.S. to have a trial and then extradite us back to Liberia. The process of now copying that evidence and witness list that has been gathered three different times, the process of copying that and turning that over to the U.S. government is where the Liberian government has failed. We have been in the U.S. now for about 500 days. That process takes 30 days. Yet Liberia continues to publish that they're working on an indictment. They have sent, extradition. They have sent an extradition team. We've been looking and waiting for this team. Still, they're yet to be found.
Wow. Councilor Johnson, with all this evidential report and recording, looking at the situation of corruption in Liberia up to the judiciary level. What's your next move?
Well, the next move is we launch an independence initiative based on the calling of the people, especially in Liberia, because as we've gone through this saga over now a year and a half, the people continue to say, look, we hear you, we agree with you, we are experiencing the situation. The question is, what are you going to do for us? What are you going to do? And so after some prayer, we decided to launch what we're calling the Independence Initiative. That means between now and Independence Day, July 26, we're going around the country in the U.S. We've got 9 cities that are scheduled. We've had the forum already in Minneapolis. We're headed with this Sunday in Philadelphia for a similar forum. At that forum, we're discussing these issues. We're getting input and ideas from our brothers and sisters around the U.S., and then we're asking them to sign a petition. We've started a signature drive. That signature drive is going on simultaneously in Liberia. That signature drive is also going on in the U.S., Europe, and other places. By July 26, we will collect all of those signatures, and we will present them to the Liberian legislature. By Liberian constitution, all they need is 10,000 signatures to move forward and make a move. Now, we already have 10,000 signatures on the ground, but we have a goal of collecting 100,000 signatures. So that way, those 100,000 signatures can be presented to them to say, look, even though the Liberian constitution required 10,000, we've collected 10 more, so do something about the problem. Those signatures will also be presented to the White House in the U.S. It will also be presented to the U.S. Congress. It will also be presented to the U.N. headquarters in New York, to Harvard University, to the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, to all the international media and other bodies of interest, to tell them, essentially, this is the voice of the Liberian people in a democratic fashion. The people are tired of the leadership that's going on. It is up to you to listen to the people peacefully, because if you don't listen to them peacefully, as people always do, they will get tired, and we are afraid something bad will happen.
Wow. Well, that is straightforward. That is straightforward. And what is the position of the Liberian government in regards to this case right now?
Well, we have been and continue to receive death threats and harassing threats from anonymous phone numbers in Liberia. That's what they continue to do. Just a few minutes ago, as I was doing some work online, I received a message that the president had paid some people to come forward and disrupt the meeting here in Philadelphia. And so those kinds of scare tactics, those kinds of threatening tactics are what we've continued to endure for a year and a half. But we're not deterred. Anytime your brother, anytime your sister are pouring gasoline on themselves and setting themselves on fire, it is serious business. It is time for action. So we're putting aside the fears. We're trusting God to deliver us, and we're going forward with this message of liberation. We're going forward with this message of independence, that come July 26, we want our independence from this corruption. We want our independence from plundering our resources. We want our independence from the suffering that is going on. In 2005, when this president was elected, the Liberian dollar was 45 to 1 U.S. dollar. Today, the Liberian dollar is about $92 to 1 U.S. dollar. Since this president has been in office, our dollar has dropped more than 100%, more than any country in the region.
Wow. Wow.
And this president is supposed to be a Harvard-trained economist.
Yeah, when she gave her State of the Nation address, she said within her State of the Nation address that, you know, no country is capable of hiring all the citizens. So the Liberian government is not in a position of giving all the citizens jobs. So the private sector needs to step up and create jobs for the rest of the Liberians. That sounded somehow to me from a from the leadership of a nation. But let's go back to the situation of corruption in Liberia. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Bismarck on Radio Talk 101.3 on the program Focus on Africa, and we're talking to Councilor Melvin Johnson, who lives in the United States, Atlanta, Georgia. He's a practicing attorney who went to Liberia trying to improve the Liberian system, trying to put an end to corruption in Liberia. And this is what has transpired during his stay in Liberia, working with the Liberian government. And very interesting to know that a patriotic Liberian who decided to do the right thing has now been the victim and is being sought after, you know, and his life is in danger. Now, Councilor Johnson, we know you're taking this initiative with this movement, and hopefully we all pray that it, you know, it nurtures into a productive Liberia, free of corruption. But this has been going on for a long period of time. As I spoke to a couple of Liberians before, they gave the notion that, you know, it's embedded in the Liberian society, especially politically in the Liberian politics. So they would say it's impossible to eradicate corruption. All what you've gone through with the Cochran situation and having to escape Liberia with your life still being threatened, do you think this is achievable?
My brother, definitely it is achievable. When you read the Bible, the children of Israel, when they were also in bondage for about 400 years, when they suffered bondage, the Lord sent forth Moses to help to deliver them. When you read the Bible, at some point they turn against Moses, because before their situation got better and they were liberated, it got a little worse. The heat was a little on them. And so at some point they turned to Moses and said, you know, this slavery, this bondage we're suffering is so endemic. It's been around for so long. It's not going to change. Why are you making all this noise by making it worse for us? And so it is not uncommon that people who have been suppressed, oppressed, depressed for so long that after a while they start to think that this is innate. They start to think this is part of their nature. They start to think that changes cannot come. So it is not unusual for us to see that. It is up to the leaders, those that have been appointed, that have been deputized by Almighty God to take the word. It is up to the leaders to be wise, to know that the people will feel that way temporarily. But as change begins to come, as the winds of change begin to blow through, just like the Israelites did in the Bible, Liberians too will begin to see that, oh, wait a minute, God has not forgotten about us. God still loves us. And just like God has touched other leaders in other countries, for instance, Ghana, Rwanda, God can do the same for us. You know, as I mentioned Rwanda, Liberia went through a civil war, so did Rwanda. In our civil war in Liberia, we lost approximately 250,000 of our brothers and sisters. In Rwanda's civil war, they lost, estimates go from 800,000 up to 1 million people. So in essence, Rwanda lost four times more people than Liberia lost. When you look at the land of the country of Rwanda, Rwanda has a square miles of 10,169 square miles. Liberia has approximately 43,000 square miles. That means Rwanda lost four times more people, but Rwanda's size of their country is less than one-fourth of Liberia. Liberia is four times larger than Rwanda. Rwanda is landlocked. That means they have no seaport. They're not touching any water. They don't have the ability to do fishery and maritime and all the things that we are privileged to do. Rwanda does not have the natural resources that Liberia has. Notwithstanding all of those disadvantages, because of great leadership that Rwanda has Today, my brother, every child in Rwanda is afforded decent public education. Not only that, every child is afforded decent public education, but every child in Rwanda is afforded a laptop. Well, today, Rwanda is known as the Silicon Valley of Africa for innovation and technology. Rwanda is producing different softwares. Rwanda is bringing forth innovation. Carnegie Mellon, a prestigious university of the Ivy League caliber, recently opening a university in Rwanda that will be giving out graduate degrees in technology and innovation that are U.S. equivalent in Rwanda that just came from a civil war. Since the civil war, Rwanda has built nearly 600 hospitals and healthcare centers, state-of-the-art around their country. Today in Liberia, you cannot count 10, my brother, that we have as a nation that is worth speaking of.
You talking about 10, Councilor Johnson. You've been to a library recently. I spoke to a couple of librarians a couple of days ago, and they spoke about the healthcare, the deplorable healthcare system in Liberia, especially that of the government hospital, John F. Kennedy Memorial Hospital, and how it's a death trap in Liberia. Look at when the Ebola situation arose, and there was a situation in Liberia. They had to send specimens to another country to verify the virus. All of these conditions, you spoke about the health, the education situation in Rwanda. Take, for example, Sierra Leone, who is the neighbor of Liberia, is now progressing and making a lot of developments in Sierra Leone compared to that of Liberia. You are talking about eradicating corruption in Liberia, exposing corruption, and here your life is on the line for doing just the minimum in exposing corruption and minimizing corruption, trying to end corruption. How do you foresee the transformation?
My brother,
looking at it now in the present government with Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who has been there for almost 12 years, hasn't done anything about electricity. Electricity plays a major role in the economics of any nation. You know, it encourages investors. You know. And then there's no running water for healthcare reasons and all of that. Liberian government is not prioritizing, and you know they're constantly being corrupt. How can we indulge in prioritizing these things and you know ending corruption and getting the Liberian people to gravitate towards this this noble cause?
The first thing that we have to do is we have to, as the word of God says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Our minds have to be renewed. We have to look at leadership as a servanthood as opposed to a privilege that is used to suppress the people, that is used to steal from the people. We also have to look at our citizenry as having an obligation to the leadership, as having an obligation to the country, an obligation to expose the ills that are going on and expose those ills on the lines of principles, not on the lines of personalities or person. That simply means if your father is corrupt, you have to stand for principle. You don't stand for the people or the persons that are involved. As
exactly.
A people, when we begin to renew our minds, our country can also be renewed. As I mentioned Rwanda earlier, Rwanda, the leadership has been working assiduously to renew the minds of the citizenry in Rwanda. Today, Rwanda is boasting skyscrapers that have been built and that are being built. Today, malaria infection and death rates in Rwanda has decreased by 80%. 80%. While our rates are going up, their rates are coming down. Today, measles and all these different diseases that are curable and preventable with vaccinations have also decreased in Rwanda by 80%. Rwanda recently built Africa's first, outside of South Africa, the first cancer hospital, worldwide renowned state-of-the-art cancer hospital. So people are flying from all over the world going to Rwanda for cancer treatment. Rwanda also recently built a fertility hospital. People that are having problems, having children, low sperm count, et cetera, today they fly from around the world to go to Rwanda to get treatment. Rwanda is also manufacturing software and designing different technology computer software there. They have built a technology city, they call it, where they're training their people in the different technologies. And so that kind of leadership is transforming the mind of the people. And so we start by being transformed by renewing our minds. And so once we can do that as a people, we're ready to go forward and live out to our true God-given potential as Liberians. Look at what Ghana is doing. Look at what Rwanda is doing. Yes, we appreciate what they're doing. We applaud what they're doing as a sister country, making us proud in Africa. But we know as Liberians, God too has blessed us. We know as Liberians, we have God-given talent, and I dare say we can even do it better than Rwanda and better than Ghana.
I believe so. I believe so. I mean, Liberia being the oldest African independent nation, you know, with a lot of financial aid being pumped into Liberia. There was this story I read about the finance minister giving the breakdown on the Liberian budget and the shortfalls in all the ministerial budgets. And this situation continues to rival in the top ranking, you know, of Liberian government, including the president, as we say, who has been recorded evidently on audio tape. Now, is it feasible to bring this this president to justice?
My brother, is not only feasible, but by God's grace, it will be done. It needs to be done, not because it is anything personal against this president, but it is principled. This is what
exactly.
We need to do, not just to this president, but we need to do this to all such persons to set an example that as a nation, we have transformed our mind, we have renewed our mind, and so we are transformed and we are moving forward. It's necessary that it must be done, not just to this president, but all involved. Liberia should now be a country about principles and not about people and personality, especially not about tribalism.
Correct. Very true. Very true. And like I've always said, you know, the example needs to be set in order for this to be taken seriously, you know, and when I speak to most Liberians, even on the internet, most Liberians put emphasis of corruption meaning towards the Liberian president. Yet we know she's part of it. She has her contributing factors. But why is it Liberians don't expose those other members of government who are corrupt, who they know are embezzling the Liberian funds? Why most? It's mostly centered towards the president. I mean, we know she is, but why don't we expose the rest?
Yeah, my brother, it is true that corruption is something that has been in our system, our culture, and our history for a long time. But part of the reason God gives a country leadership is to lead the people, to set the example, to set the tone for the people. When you read the Bible, there was a situation involving Joshua, the leader that God gave to the people. He made it very clear. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, he began to set the tone for the people. He began to set the example for the people to follow. So what I'm saying is this. When our leadership begins to set the tone and set the example, our people will follow, especially when the tone and the example is being set fairly, is being set with ramifications put in place for those that violate the principle of corruption, the people will follow. When we see the president prosecuting her own son, taking her son to jail for corruption, trust me, everybody would say, you know what? This is a new day in Liberia. If the leadership can prosecute their own family, if they can prosecute their own loved ones, rest assured they will prosecute everybody that violates the principle. That is the kind of leadership we need. That is the kind of example we need. That is the kind of tone that needs to be set in Liberia. Until that is the case, we are only joking and talking and wasting time.
How do you see, how do you foresee the upcoming presidential election of Liberia, knowing the present state of government and some of the aspiring candidates?
What we're hoping is that our people will have more awareness, and the awareness will come from some of the examples that have been set by this campaign that has been launched by Ellen Corcoran and myself to bring awareness and enlightenment to the people. Once our people have awareness, then our people are able to make intelligent choices, intelligent decisions based on principles, not just based on people and based on personalities. And so the hope is that going forward, be it 2017 and into our prosperity, that our people will make intelligent decisions, not decisions based on being influenced or being fearful, such as we heard before, you give us rice, and so you kill our mind, you kill our power, we will vote for you. But decisions,
right.
That people will make decisions and say, you know what, this is what's best for Liberia. It's not this is what's best for Lofa or Nimba or John Doe or Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, but this is what is best for all of us as a people. Therefore, this decision needs to be made. Whether the decision is tough or not, it needs to be made. So that is the hope going forward, that our people, after being transformed by the renewing of our minds, will be able to make those kind of intelligent decisions for the betterment of Liberia and all Liberians.
So you are saying that the initiative includes the educational aspect of individuals' rights as to vote as per count of their vote, because this is
Absolutely.
Very important. This is very important, and the Liberians really need to be, you know, educated on, you know, one man, one vote, what it means to a person and what it means to a nation. Because during the past election, you know, we've heard so many stories about how Liberians were, you know, voting numerous times, and they were being paid bribed to vote and all of that. That's a man's, you know, right to his voice, to his expression. So you are telling me that the initiative includes the education of all Liberians to what it is.
Yes. That is the primary Yes, that is the primary basis of the independence, the Global Independence Initiative that has been launched, that started in Minneapolis, and this weekend will continue in Philly, Delphia. Thereafter, will go on to many other cities around the country. Because the people first, you have to start with knowledge. You have to start with information. You have to start with educating the people. You cannot be transformed unless you renew your mind. And the way to renew your mind is to have understanding. And all you're getting, our people have to get understanding. And so that is the basis. That's the premise of the Global Independence Initiative that has been launched. We are going forward to bring awareness, to enlighten the people. Some of the statistics and information I've mentioned to you that have been presented by the U.S. government, by the United Nations, by the different international bodies. We're bringing copies of those things. We're sharing it with our people. We're challenging them to read. We're challenging them to research. We're challenging them to become aware, become enlightened as to the situation going on. Because only an educated citizenry will move Liberia forward. If our people continue to stay in the dark, Liberia will stay in the dark. A nation can only go as far people are willing to go. So our people are willing to go far, but they have to be armed with the information and knowledge that are essential to make that a reality.
Very true, very true, Councilor Johnson. Like I always say, an uneducated nation is a nation headed for disaster. Councilor Johnson, we have just 4 more minutes. We want to thank you for taking this time in your busy schedule to have this conversation with us on Radio Talk 101.3. And we want to publicly ask you if you could please come back next Saturday between 10 to 12 to continue this discussion.
I will be more than happy to do so. Ellen Corcoran, I will contact her. She has a very busy schedule. She has been my partner through this effort, as I said earlier, from the very beginning, and I will let her know about that as well. Hopefully, her schedule will comport and allow for her to come on as well and shed light as I have been doing so far.
Great, great. So, ladies and gentlemen, we look forward to next Saturday speaking with Councilor Johnson and Ms. Corcoran concerning the Corcoran file. Councilor Johnson has just given us the introduction to the Corcoran file. We would love for him to be back on next Saturday with Ms. Corcoran to go in detail into the Corcoran file, because we have some questions, and our listening audience could call in to ask questions concerning the Corcoran file. Councilor Johnson, I want to thank you for taking this time. We do appreciate it, and wish you a blessed Saturday, and look forward to talking to you and Ms. Corcoran on next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Till 12 o'clock.
Thank you, my brother. Let me say praise the Lord again. God remains good all the time, and all the time God remains good. Thank you again. Thank you to your staff for the opportunity to be on this radio. Thank you to your listening audience. Everybody within the sound of my voice, we're in Philadelphia this weekend. We're here Sunday beginning at 5 p.m. at the Christ Assembly Lutheran Church off of 63rd Avenue, right off of Church Market Street. We're inviting everybody to come out. This is an important dialogue affecting the future and the prosperity of Liberia. All of us need to be involved. Everybody come out and participate so that we can move Mama Liberia forward. Thank you again, my brother. God bless you. God bless the radio audience. God bless your staff. And may God bless Mama Liberia.
Thank you, Councilor Johnson. You have a blessed one. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Please join us same time, same station on Saturday, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. We'll be talking to Councilor Johnson and Ms. Corcoran concerning the Corcoran file. Please show up on Sunday, June 8th at 5 p.m. because we'll be there also in Philadelphia for the Librarians Independence Initiative Community Town Hall Meeting and Forum. That's Christ Assembly Lutheran Church, 229 North 63rd Street, Philadelphia, PA, just off Market Street. And you have, it's the admission is free, and refreshments will be served. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. We love you out there, and it's time for us to get out of here. We look forward to talking to you next Saturday when we'll be talking to Councilor Johnson and Ms. Corcoran on the Corcoran file. Peace, love, peace, and happiness. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Make sure you join us through the week from 10 p.m. to 12 midnight. This is Bismarck. We love you. Peace.